tosses up. Van Hula, okie doke move, and lays it up for two. Lee with a nifty move there.
He could go all the way, and the freshman takes it to the house with no time on the clock. Are you kidding me? He takes it 60 yards. Welcome to Redbird Nation.
And the shoe. She gives it to Katie Broadway. Broadway taking it herself down the left side. No good. But she's going to get on a rebound. Kicks it out. Kansas Sykes for three.
Got it.
From local high school action to the birds and the pros, with live interviews, reporting, debate, and discussion, WZND's Red Zone brings you all the sports you can handle each week. The Red Zone starts now, only on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.
Hello and welcome to this special edition of the Red Zone. I'm Ben Howell in the WZND studio. In just a minute, we'll send it over live to Buffalo Wild Wings and Normal for our Grand Slam summer show. But you still have time to go over to Main Street and see the show live. Plus, you'll have a chance to win Cubs, White Sox, and Cardinals tickets as a part of our Grand Slam summer giveaway tonight. Also, with the NFL draft coming up tonight, stay tuned to hear ISU football head coach Brock Spack join the show. For all this and more, let's send it live over to Mikey Fornelli and Braden Fogerson at Buffalo Wild Wings with this edition of The Red Zone.
Happy Thursday, birds. Welcome into this edition of The Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. I'm Mikey Fornelli alongside Braden Fogerson live from Buffalo Wild Wings here on Main and Normal. How's everybody doing tonight out here? Glad to hear it. So good evening, everybody. And as I said, you're tuning to WZND. We are on air on WZND all across the world on the internet, actually, and then locally on 103.3 FM, the pulse of Redbird Nation. We're currently broadcasting from B-Dubs on Main Street. We partner with them to present WZND's Grand Slam Summer Giveaway. Throughout tonight's episode, we'll be giving away prizes and tickets to MLB games, including the Chicago White Sox, Cubs, and Cardinals. If you want a chance to win, come on down, visit B-Dubs on Main Street. We're also going to have an exclusive interview with ISU football head coach Brock Spack coming up in about 15 minutes, so get your questions in for that. We got people coming around. You will not want to miss that. But first, as I said, I'm Mikey. I'm a huge Bears fan, so that's what I'm excited for tonight, the ninth overall pick. I hope some people are excited about that. And I would say we got some Packers fans in the building, too. We probably do, right? Somewhere out here? I don't know. Maybe not. We have a Raiders fan in the building.
Yeah.
One Raiders fan, at least. I don't know. Any other Las Vegas Raiders fans in the room at all? Okay, you got a friend, obviously.
Yeah.
But first, coming up in the show, we want to talk a little bit about the Redbirds themselves, right? Illinois State University. So let's first do that, as it was a year of firsts for the Illinois State Redbirds, Braden. What was your take on so far this year for sports as we round out third base here on this total seasons for Illinois State?
Well, I mean, even recently, ISU has been fantastic. They've had a lot of, especially women's sports, doing really, really well. You've had volleyball being amazing. Women's basketball was fantastic. Softball looking really, really good right now as well. Recently, a couple MVC championship appearances. Golf winning the MVC championship the other day. You also had an MVC or a title game appearance for women's tennis. Men's tennis has been fantastic as well. Just really, really good shape for all of ISU athletics right now.
It was truly a year of first. Allie Matters, her first year as the volleyball head coach. Marissa Kresge, her first year as the soccer head coach. And Ryan Peden as his first year as the men's basketball head coach. So what have you thought about some of these coaches in year one?
I think a lot of these coaches have been in good, you know, a lot of different situations. I mean, obviously the volleyball team was fantastic. Even before Coach Matters took over, but she has turned that team into, honestly, an even better-looking program. You were still able to just be so excited to watch that team play. This Ryan Peden coach basketball team seems to have a really good future as well. I've seen, you know, if you follow Redbird Twitter at all, you know, a lot more Redbird fans are getting more and more excited for the future of this ISU team. They've gotten a couple more people committed, and, you know, considering you know, there was a lot to work on at the end of this previous season. It's good to know that there is a lot of work that's being done in the offseason.
Yeah, a lot of big signings already for the Illinois State Redbirds men's basketball team. Jordan Davis from Wisconsin, he signed here just today officially. Brandon Lieb from U of I. So we're bringing in some great players for this Ryan Peden-based team. And this was something he talked about but that he really wanted to do from day one when he came into Illinois State. He wanted to start with recruiting. As you know, a middle-sized school in the middle of the state, you don't oftentimes get the best recruiting, but he really wants to change that about Illinois State.
Yeah, for sure. And when you are at the beginning of your tenure and you know you've got a lot of work to do, the only thing you really can do is just start making a lot of change. And he knows what type of coach he wants to be. It's pretty likely that he didn't inherit a situation that entirely fit his coaching style anyway. So the best thing you can do is just continue to make adjustments to your team, continue to get new players that fit your program, and you know, as long as you continue to make those changes, then that gets people excited for the next season. Because the last thing they want to do coming into the next basketball season is expect the same team we saw this past year.
He also defeated his own school in Wooster in his first ever game with Illinois State. So it was probably kind of weird to beat your own school in your first game as a head coach. But that was a notable win this season for the Illinois State men's basketball team. Of course, we can't not talk about all the Redbird sports so far this year without mentioning the softball team. It's gone on a 10-game win streak earlier this season in Tina Kramos' very first year. I know you've called a lot of softball games here on the Pulse of Redbird Nation. What's set them apart so far this season?
I think especially in conference play, the beginning of conference play, they had conference opponents that weren't crazy, and they were able to take full advantage of that. Obviously, you know, losing three against the conference leaders, losing two out of three against Missouri State, you've got to be able to work on that. But the bottom, the first bar you need to be able to reach is to be able to beat those teams that are beneath you and that you are better at as in terms of your roster, and that's what they've been able to do. And now that you've seen those teams both and played a whole series against them, that's when you go into the conference play and the conference tournament and make those adjustments and make your team better for that.
Braden, I sidestepped one of your earlier points. It was a big year for a lot of our women's teams, and I have some of those stats here for us. Maya Kovacek and the ISU women's tennis team went undefeated in conference and second in the MVC tournament, so a strong showing for them. The women's track and field won their 14th indoor conference title. Very impressive in the men's with their second place finish. And of course, how can we talk about a Redbird recap of the year without mentioning Kristen Gillespie and the Redbird women's basketball team and a Missouri Valley championship and a WNBA player in the process?
Exactly. You have talent now and you had talent back then. Kathy Boswell set for induction into the Women's Basketball Hall of Fame. It's kind of been a tradition for Illinois State women's basketball, and it's good to be able to see them return to prominence.
Paige Robinson to the Dallas Wings now. She's the first Redbird to ever be drafted to the WNBA. I mean, to me personally, that feels really special for Kristen Gillespie's ISU Redbird program. She has really turned this program around to the point where they're creating professional basketball players. This is the team that 6 years ago had a losing record at the bottom of the conference for years and years and years, and now they're creating professional basketball players. That is the difference Gillespie has made with this team.
And what does that mean in terms of what to expect out of this ISU women's basketball team? Paige Robinson knew she had the talent to get to this position, but when she was in the transfer portal, she had all the teams that were looking at her. Everyone knew how talented she was. What does ISU do so well that led to them being able to pull off getting such a talent like Paige Robinson to lead their team, even if just for 1 year?
The thing about the Illinois State women's basketball team that helps them get to that point is they have all kinds of loyalty. I mean, we're talking about a lot of transfer ads and losses for the Illinois State men's team, but that's one thing the women's team really hasn't had to really deal with. They don't really lose players to the transfer portal yet. They've just gained players. When you lost Juju Redmond to the professional leagues overseas, you got Paige Robinson. And now that Paige Robinson's off to the Dallas Wings, you're going to bring in Caroline Waite from Bradley, who was a former freshman of the year coming down the highway just to come hang out here now. So there is all kinds of loyalty, and with that loyalty, you start getting those high-profile recruits, even from your rival school.
Again, just there's something special for this Redbird team that leads to that sort of loyalty, that you can add new players without losing any of your talent. As these players get older and get more experienced, they're still sticking with ISU, and there's a reason for that, and it's because this team is very well coached, it's well put together, They have a ton of different strengths and not very many weaknesses, and that's what it takes to be able to put together a championship competing program.
So there were some big upset wins this season. I use big as a fun term because throughout most ISU sports, there were a lot of wins against the Big Ten. Everyone always talks about the values, the tradition, the success of the Big Ten Conference, and it deserves it. But also, there's a trend growing here as the Birds have defeated Big Ten teams multiple times this season. Volleyball defeating Illinois, who was ranked number 25 at the time. Wisconsin for women's basketball, Paige Robinson, a perfect 7-for-7 for three in that game. And baseball, number 17, Iowa and Illinois. So what is the difference there with these teams? You know, how come ISU is able to go into these games against a Big Ten team and they come out with a win in four or five different occurrences this year?
Well, as someone that has always rooted for Illinois, a Big Ten team, I know that there is a lot of people that come to places like Illinois State knowing Big Ten sports, knowing what it means to root for Big Ten teams. And so when you come from that background, come from, even if you're not from around here, if you lived in SEC area, when you know what it means to be able to be a part of watching, you know, those big colleges that always compete for championships up top, you know how much it means as a mid-major school to be able to beat those teams. And you know what it feels like when you're rooting for an Illinois or Michigan State or Northwestern and you see what we lost to this team. It is a big, big feeling to be able to put yourself on the map like that. And Illinois State has been able to do that time and time again this year.
I know we have one person in the room especially who knows a lot about the Big Ten, being a former All-Big Ten linebacker himself. Coach Speck is here in the building. Braden, we can't say anything too bad because Coach is here in the building. But before we have him come in here, you want to talk a little bit about the ISU football team? It seems so long ago, but you and I both called some of those games. So what do we remember about the season it was for the Illinois State Redbirds football team?
Well, one of the first things to remember is that there's been a theme of Redbird football as of late, and I'm actually probably going to want to be asking Coach Speck about this, is it's a very defensive-minded team. They don't typically score a lot. That's not typically their style. Their style is more being able to focus on the defensive side of the ball, have low-scoring games and low-scoring efforts. And if you can focus on defense, you know, I mean, it's always been a saying for a reason that defense wins championships. And ISU football is always going to be able to be competitive. You know, obviously, when you can up your offensive game, that puts you even in an upper echelon. But at the very least, if you have yourself in good shape defensively, you are going to be in all of these games against all of this MVC talent.
So we're going to have Coach join the show pretty soon, but before we go to break, I want to talk a little bit more about some of the giveaways we're doing today for WZND. So if you come on down to B-Dubs on Main Street here, you can enter your name in to win some Cubs tickets, some Cardinals tickets, some White Sox tickets, all kinds of smaller prizes. After the break, we're going to talk a little bit about who won those White Sox tickets, but before we do that, we have to do an obligatory 2 minutes here on your Cardinals. I think they finally got a win today.
They did get a win, and however, there's a lot of talk about the Cardinals losing Jordan Walker, dropping him down, and I think a lot of people are really confused about why that happened. I saw an article, I think it was from STL Sports Today. I don't know for sure, but I know that I want to be able to give credit where it's due. The Cardinals have done this before. Colton Wong, when he was a star-studded prospect coming up through the ranks, he was sent down despite playing well because the team as a whole just wasn't playing well. And it's also happened to the late Oscar Tavares when he was going up through the ranks as well. He was set down despite having really good numbers still. And Jordan Walker just needs to be able to work on that ground ball rate. He's just kind of, aside from that 12-game hitting streak at the start of his Cardinals career, that'd be nice. But anyway, despite that 12-game hitting streak, you know, just trying to be able to limit those ground balls and to be able to go back down to AAA, where the Cardinals always have really, really good coaching that can push, you know, push those players to get back into shape and get back to that big league level. You know, it'll still be good shape for the Cardinals, and also, as long as he doesn't stay down in AAA for over 2 weeks, the Cardinals get an extra compensatory pick out of it.
You're talking about AAA. You're talking about the Memphis Redbirds instead of the Illinois State Redbirds there.
Yeah.
Coming up after the break, we're going to give away some White Sox tickets. I see now the White Sox are in action. They're trying to turn that season around over there. We'll talk a little bit about that when we come back. So we'll have the giveaway, and then we'll have ISU head football coach Brock Speck join the show. Get your questions in still on Twitter, at WZND Sports, or if you're here live at the restaurant, find one of our people asking some questions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Coach Speck joins the Red Zone.
This is Barstool Big Cat, and you are listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND.
And welcome back to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND. Thank you to Buffalo Wild Wings again for partnering with WZND to make this night possible. Again, we're broadcasting live at the Main Street location to give away Major League Baseball tickets. So come on down, get down to Buffalo Wild Wings on Main Street, and you can only win those baseball tickets if you are here in person. So make sure to come hang out. Again, we're broadcasting live, so come on down for that. We just drew our first big ticket giveaway. We gave away a pair of White Sox tickets, so make sure you come on down so you can hear about the Cardinals and those Cubs tickets for your chance to win. But first, joining the show before we give away some more tickets is ISU head football coach Brock Spack. Coach, thanks for joining us today here at Buffalo Wild Wings.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Good to be here.
We really, really appreciate it. So we wanted to ask first a little bit about football, but why not break the ice with the big question everyone's wondering, traditional or boneless wings here at Buffalo Wild Wings?
I go boneless.
Me too. Yeah. Me too. It's the BOGO Thursday. Why wouldn't you? Yeah. You have to.
Yeah.
What's your sauce pick on the sauce ranking?
I like spicy. I like the spiciest they got, hottest they got.
Have you ever done like the Blazin' Wings challenge, like as high as it gets?
No, not done that.
You have not. We might have to try it eventually.
Sometime, huh?
Wait, are you into spicy food though at all?
I am.
Do you think you can handle that?
I like spicy food.
All right.
I do.
All right, Coach. So how's spring ball going for you guys? I know you had an open scrimmage not too long ago.
We're done. A little bit. Spring ball's been over for a couple weeks now. We had a spring game on the 15th. It went really well. We really like our offense right now. We're the quarterback obviously is a good player, and he's done a really good job. You know, Zach Enigstad. Our running game is I think going to be improved quite a bit. But we threw the ball awful well. Really happy where we're at there. I think we got a couple scholarships left. We're trying to recruit some guys at the end of here. To come in this summer, I think we'll probably look at a couple guys on offense, mostly on defense. But our guys that played this spring were really good, and I was impressed with our offense. They were a handful, defense. We're always pretty good on defense, and they were a handful this spring. So that's good. And Zach had a great spring. Tommy Rittenhouse had a great spring, I thought, and threw the ball awful well, and just made a lot of big plays.
What's that quarterback room looking like right now between Zach and Tommy? Is Zach still going to be your starter?
Yeah, Zach's the starter. Okay. He's clearly a starter coming out of spring. But Tommy had a great spring, my thought. And Tommy's at a place now he can go in a game and win it for you. A year ago he's pretty young, but he threw the ball awfully well. And Tommy's a really good athlete, can run. But he's in a good spot right now, I think. So knock on wood, we keep those guys healthy, and I think we'll be in good shape.
So, Coach, what are you looking for in spring ball? Obviously, it's different competition than facing other teams in the MVFC or even non-conference opponents. So is there anything different that you're looking for that kind of helps you gauge whether your team or whether specific players are doing well versus just regular football?
Well, you try to do a couple things in spring practice. Number one is you teach the fundamentals of the position and that kids play. Then you teach the system. You try to introduce the system on both sides of the football and in special teams. And then we try to figure out who the guys are, who can make plays, your playmakers, who's going to be in the mix, and you try to keep them healthy. That's a big part in spring. It's a fine line in football. Sometimes you go home and was that a little bit too much, or and that's not quite enough. Anytime you play live or go out even with Thud, we go out there and cross our fingers that everybody who walks on or runs on the field runs off it. And we did pretty good job of that. I don't think we had anything major. We had a couple things that need to get cleaned up, but other than that, from a physical standpoint, I think we're in pretty good shape health-wise going into the summer. But we had a very good productive spring on both sides of football in all phases. We tried to find out some answers. You said the quarterback. It's always important who your playmakers on. And defense is a little different because you do the same thing in offense, particularly at running back and at receiver and even tight end. You roll a lot of people through in a game, so you got to have two deep. So if you're in a two deep and you're on any roster, you're a good player and you're a starter basically. But defensively, the way people are attacking you now with tempo and speed and just trying to try to make it a really tough conditioning type of game. You got to have depth, and so you're building your depth in the spring and find out who can play and who can't, and that's really, really important.
We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings with ISU head football coach Brock Speck. We have an answer about those White Sox tickets. Those went to Caitlin Donovan. So she was the big winner for those ones. You could be like Caitlin. You could score some baseball tickets if you come on down to Buffalo Wild Wings here on Main Street. We still got Cardinals and Cubs tickets. But, Coach, back to our questions for you, of course. It seemed like Zach liked to run the ball through Tanner and Bryson last year at the tight end spot a lot. Was that something in his game plan or yours, or maybe a combination?
Well, they're very good players. You know, both those kids are going to have a chance to play pro football, I think, and they're very good players. So, yeah, that was a big part of it. The tight end's always been a big part of our offense. You know, when James O'Shaughnessy was here back in 14 and years prior to that, you know, we went to the national championship game, and a lot of things ran through our tight end. Our tight ends have always been very, very good here, and we got good tight ends again. But really like who's coming back, and we got a new guy from Missouri Western who's going to be a good player for us. And I think those two kids were really good players, and we tried to get the ball to them. And they're hard to match up because they're bigger guys. You know, usually tight ends are bigger, and they can run like those two guys ran well. You try to do that, particularly in the play action game, because they're involved in the running game a lot. And the hard play action passes, you know, the tight end is open a lot. So.
You mentioned James O'Shaughnessy. I also want to shout out James Robinson. I mean, there's been a lot of guys who have gone through your program who are doing well at the highest level now, and there's a possibility that this weekend you'll gain one or two more. So what is it about, you know, maybe Zeke or any of those guys that you think sets them apart to maybe reach that level?
Their work ethic, you know, all those guys, it's just, you know, the Deming twins, you know, Tanner and Zeke and then Drew Bones, all five of those guys I think will get an opportunity. But they're all good guys. They're really smart, number one. Every one of them smart. And they're all way above 3 points. A couple of them have, most of them have their master's degree. And that's a big part of the pro game. And football is a real, you can make it as complicated as you want as a coach. But you have to have brain, and they're awfully good that way. But both of them have the measurables. You know, they run well. They have ball skills. You know, they can bend, and that's really important. They run, you know, like a good speed and decent size. And some of those guys are really big. Drew's really big. So that's always a plus. You know, big. I have a saying: big people beat up little people, and that's kind of where football's at. You know, big guys rather err on the side of size or speed, you know, and then those guys, if they stay healthy, they get a chance to play pro football. So.
And, Coach, I'd also like to be able to ask, we touched about it a little bit in the right before the break, but I wanted to be able to ask from your side of things how that works. So when I watch ISU football, you can tell that defense is definitely, you know, more often than not the strength of ISU football. And I just wanted to be able to ask from your perspective, is that the focus for your game plan, that you need to be able to make sure that defense is down, or is it just that
I was a defensive coordinator for 16 years, you know, and I was in the Big Ten for 22, so I was a coordinator in the Big Ten, and Big Ten football is about stopping people, and you don't stop people anymore, really. You try to slow them down. It's very difficult, but our best, what's ironic of what you said, during my tenure here as a head coach, we have the all-time leading passer, the all-time leading receiver, and the all-time leading rusher. And it's very, very, it's hard to say. We have the 1 and 2 leading rushers. So you're correct. Defense has been that way. But when we win championships, we won 2 championships here, we played for a national title, our offense was dynamic. And that's, we're getting back to that, I think, a little bit more. And, you know, when James was here, you know, we just handed the ball to him. He took over in the playoffs and did a great job. But, defense, they say offense sells tickets, defense wins championships, but it's not the case anymore. I will tell you that. You have to score. If you watch any playoff, if you watch the NFL, you watch the Power Five, Final Four, you watch FCS, you know, playoffs, you got to score points, and so it's really important, and we've really dialed it up this year on offense, I think. We're going to continue to add to that here in the next couple weeks, but I think we'll be much better. But, yeah, I'm a defensive coach by trade. That was what needed to be fixed here when I came here. So that's been kind of the emphasis. We've always kind of have a tradition now of really good defense. Travis Niekamp is a former Redbird. He's done a great job with our defense last, you know, 5 years, and has taken it to a different level. And we do some different things now. And and they've got their our defensive coaches have put their stamp on it. But we've had some great offenses too. I mean, we can score, and but I think this year you'll see a little different team you've seen in the last couple of years. And this team was going to be able to score, I think, it's all about this guy, the guy who throws the football.
Yeah.
And it comes down to him. The game goes through the quarterback. And if you have a great quarterback, and I was at Purdue with Brees, and we had Drew Brees and had Kyle Orton, speaking of the Bears, right, Kyle Orton, both really good players. And when you have great quarterbacks, you have I was asked by a friend of mine who was a coordinator at the time on offense. He was an offensive coordinator in the SEC. He's now retired, but he said, "How are you going to be next year?" I said, "I'm going pretty good." I said, "Any coach says they're going to be pretty good in football, it means they got a pretty good quarterback." I said, "You're exactly right."
Yep.
So I'm really, I think that's just the way it is. You got to have a quarterback in this game.
From a recruiting standpoint, bringing in Zach Ambrock to have the target option there too, but they are brothers. What was that like from the recruiting side? Was it one before the other, or did they come as a package? Like, who did that look like?
I didn't really package it that way, but I wasn't gonna. Put Brock's a little, he's an older guy,
right.
A year older. Mrs. Enningstead had more to do with it. Mom had a lot to do with that.
Yeah.
And that, Brock, you're going there.
Yeah.
And he wasn't used quite as much at, but he was a starting punt returner there. He's a holder on a kick team. And he also, he's like the fourth or fifth receiver. Which in a Minnesota offense, you get a chance, but you don't get a chance to catch a lot of balls. So, he came here, and that was good. But be honest with you, I mean, it's the guy's honest truth. His mother had everything to do with that. I never tried to get in the middle of that. I don't think, Zach didn't want to try to get in the middle of that.
Right.
But Mom drove it. We obviously were going to take him if he was interested. He ended up being interested, so it was great.
There's been a lot of talk specifically around the NFL draft, and I won't name drop anything, but there's a lot of talk about judgment of character. And you as a college football coach, you would know, more than anybody from a recruiting standpoint. What does that start like for you? What does that look like for you? What about somebody makes you know that, yeah, this guy will work hard, he'll come here every day ready to play?
Well, it's a big part of it. I've had 40-plus guys get drafted. I've had three first-rounders, and I've had some guys get drafted here, and we've done very well here, but... If you want to be, they don't spend millions on guys who are going to be in jail and guys who are bad people and guys who aren't going to project a really good image of the organization. They don't want bad publicity. They don't care how good you are. And that's kind of run its course a little bit. I think people are a little tired of that. And you got a phone in front of you, but that's kind of where our world is now, right? I mean, we when I was in school, you didn't, and even 15 years ago, you didn't. Everybody's a reporter now. All they have to do is turn on the phone and say click.
Oh no, it's coming for our jobs.
Yeah, I mean, so it's just different world you live in, and that's part of it. And people, there's not a lot of secrets anymore. So
right.
You better be a pretty good guy. And
yeah,
they're not going to spend millions on those kind of people. So character means a lot. Obviously, players make mistakes, and particularly when they're younger, high school and college guys, make a mistake. Hate to see him get, chastised and hung for it, But there's certain things, there's certain standards you have to live up to, and I think you're not better than anybody else, you're just different, and you got to understand that, and you're carrying the Illinois State brand with you, and you represent all the students at Illinois State, all the football players at Illinois State. It says Illinois State football player on the front page. It doesn't say such and such, so. So we all get guilty by association. So you want somebody that's going to represent you well. And that's kind of where it's gone, the NFL. They're getting tired of dealing with that, and it's kind of embarrassing sometimes. So,
absolutely.
That's what I'm there to do, is to try to build young men, build men, be man-building, and teach guys how to act, and on the field but off of it as well.
Absolutely.
Do you feel like this new situation where it's easier to know, what someone's social media posts in the past were, what their interactions with other people were, do you think that makes it a better, an easier way as a coach to judge character and kind of
absolutely. It does, because sometimes the truth comes out on social media, and I'm not big into that, but sometimes I'll follow a guy, and I follow our recruits. And I stay away from all the other stuff,
right,
but I sports pilot side of it. I want to know what they're saying, and Sometimes our young coaches, you know, do that too. And I got guys that follow guys, and they follow our own players. You know, our athletic department will do that. You know, somebody in the athletic department usually send a stud. We'll follow our guys. Hey, you know, you said this. I said that's not very smart. So yeah, we'll call them in and try to hope it's nothing really bad that's going to get him in a whole lot of trouble. But you got to grow from this, dude. This is not a good look. And now you have NIL, right? So if you want to have NIL, you got to have a good brand yourself. And you know, companies aren't going to pay for you to represent them when you're talking like a jackass, you know, on social media. So, that character means a lot, and you want something to represent somebody who represents university in the right way. So, no doubt. But the NFL is no different. They pay millions for these guys, and they put a lot of effort, a lot of money goes into evaluating these guys. And I have a lot of friends in the NFL, and they don't take it lightly. And if you're kind of a guy that's important to you, then you don't love football, and you're not focused on the right things. So, absolutely.
When we come back, we're going to have our giveaway for Cardinals tickets, and then we're also going to hear your questions to Coach Spack. If you've entered in a question today, you'll have a chance to hear that one read live. When we come back, we'll have the answer to our Cardinals ticket giveaway. You're listening to The Red Zone.
This is Illinois State Winkers Wright, and you're listening to The Red Zone on 103.3 WZND, Redbird County. Let's fly.
And welcome back to The Red Zone. Mikey Fennelli, Braden Fogerson, and Illinois State head football coach Brock Spack. We're live at Buffalo Wild Wings. We still got half an hour here, so if you have not come on down yet, definitely come on in to Main Street Buffalo Wild Wings in Normal. We have a live show, great giveaways, including a Cardinals giveaway that we're about to read off right now. Again, the winner to our Cardinals giveaway was Chelsea Harkerode, who won a pair of tickets to see the Cardinals. If you want to win tickets, we have just one drawing left. So Chelsea won that one. Congrats to her. It's going to be a grand slam summer here on WZND as we give away White Sox, Cardinals, and Cubs tickets. The Cubs tickets drawing coming up just here in the back half of the show. But of course, for the rest of the night, we've been kind of walking around for most of the night asking some questions from fans on what they want to know from Coach Spack. So Braden, why don't you start us off with one of the fan questions?
Yeah, so I think this is actually a good question to start out with, Coach, because I think this is a good way to gauge how the rest of this will go. But Andrew would like to know what your favorite team was growing up, and I would assume that's football, but if you have any other specific team you'd like to mention, that could work.
The Bears and the Cubs and the Blackhawks.
I love to hear that. This guy doesn't, but I love to hear that.
I should have asked that question.
So does any?
I grew up in Rockford, Illinois, which is on the Illinois-Wisconsin border, and we're about an hour northwest of Chicago. So I'm pretty much a Chicago sports guy.
All right, I'll do my fan question then. Who do you think the Bears should take at number nine? Or
man,
what do you think
know.
They should
I,
do about
I,
it? You have no idea.
Offensive lineman.
Yeah,
I think. But
I agree.
They might need a. It's hard to pass up on a great pass rusher, so there's some really good players in the draft right now. I could see them taking a kid from Georgia maybe.
Yeah.
Big body on defense, but I think you build a football team from inside out, and I think that's where they need to improve. They got a fabulous athlete at quarterback. They got to protect him, and defense is, you know, that's where it starts up front. So
yeah, absolutely.
So hard to find those guys.
And Coach, another question that was asked. This one was asked by Jake. But I have a feeling that Alex Berger also really wants to know the answer to this question. So who would be, if you were running the Carolina Panthers, who would be your number one draft pick today?
Carolina Panthers. I don't know. That's a good question.
or even just in general, like who do you think would be the best character? Who do you think would be the best player to put on a football team?
Putting him on the spot, Braden.
Yeah. put me on a really spot here. I'm trying to think. I don't watch it. Yeah, I would say a quarterback. Yeah,
okay.
I agree with Mike. I think a quarterback. There's something about the kid at Kentucky, Levis, really like.
It's her cousin. One of our WZND directors.
Alleged cousin.
I watched a show on him last night. I said, you know, I didn't know a lot about him, but he reminds me of the kid at Buffalo a lot. And I like those kind of guys, like athletic, big, strong arm guys.
Yeah.
I think he'd be my pick.
Yeah, he's a good player.
He's awful good.
He's been telling people, I guess, that he thinks he's going to get drafted first overall, apparently. So his odds, apparently, have gone way down because he's been telling family and friends. He's been in big talks with the Panthers. So that could be a Vegas breaker tonight if that one hits, because everyone's going to lose some money. I feel like most bets are on Bryce Young at this point. So
you know, I like him a lot, but, again, a big physical guy.
Yeah.
And what I tell you about big guys.
What was your quote? Cool size beat speed or something? What was your quote?
Big guys beat up little guys.
Yeah.
And you err on the side of size or speed.
Right.
And he's a big, strong. And he got. I just think he can take the punishment of being an NFL quarterback. And you know, Bryce Young's not very big, in my opinion. He's a great player. There's no doubt about it. But you know, those guys get hurt, unfortunately. Okay.
All right, so I got another fan question. Back to Illinois State just a little bit here. Tim and Justin both had a very similar question, so I'll merge these ones into one. Any new players on your squad to get excited for, or any new recruits coming in?
Oh, we got a lot of them. I saw Caitlin Donovan won your prize.
Yeah.
You know, she's a gymnast here. I don't know if you know that.
I think she won the White Sox giveaway.
The White Sox tickets, yeah.
She's from Michigan, just so you know. And her brother, Tommy, we recruited him. He's going to be a really good player, I think.
Where does he play?
He's a receiver. And he's very athletic, and he's built. If you walked in, he looks like a college player. I mean, he's really put together well. You know, he looks like a gymnast, a male gymnast, but he's a lot bigger, obviously, but he's really put together. And I like him a lot. There's two transfer linemen from Duke, Ron Carr and Elijah Wharton. Both are very good players. I like them a lot. So I think those two kids, we got a lot of guys I really impressed with, but those three guys come names that come to as freshmen. It's going to be a skill guy probably. It's going to help you because you're not quite. It takes so much to get ready. You know, these guys are 23, 24 years old. Some of them, and it takes a while for the linemen to come around. But that's why I say a transfer lineman. And then I mentioned those two guys, and then a skill guy, Tommy Donovan, would be my odds-on favorite. You might see him play next fall. Awful talented.
And, Coach, this might be my last question that hasn't been kind of answered already. Alex wants to know, what's the biggest weakness from last season that you've been working to improve heading into this year?
Well, I want to call – you know, I'm not saying our whole offense, but we've got to score more. And we moved a defensive back over to receiver. We've retooled our – you know, you mentioned that – retooled our running back room. We got a transfer from Northern Illinois. Wankers Wright is healthy, and
I love Wankers Wright, great guy.
And Cole Mueller took a lot more reps than I thought. We didn't hit him at all, but he was on the field most of the spring, and he looked faster than he's ever looked.
Is his leg okay? Or, you know, after this, week
he looked fine. He had days where he was sore, but it's just a dull ache. You know, it's like. We're all that way. You know, football,
right.
Football wears you down, and but he's done very well. We have a freshman named Ficklin that came in, high school kid who's got talent. He's got a lot to learn, both over there and and over there. So he's a freshman, and I get it. But he's pretty smart, and I think he'll figure it out.
He'll figure it out on campus all the way over.
He's got to figure it out over there.
Yeah, absolutely. You say that he was a little bit sore, and it's like, I had a wreck softball game yesterday, and I was barely walking this morning. I can't even imagine playing every snap like that.
You know, he also tore his Achilles a couple years ago.
Yeah.
It's on the same leg. So we were all worried about that.
Right,
but
he
looks faster than he's ever been. Now, he's a little lighter, and I think he needs to put about 10 back on, which he will. But I think he wanted to lighten up, so he's not as much stress on his lower body. And he looked fast to me this spring. I don't want to get everybody excited, but I think he looked awful good when he had the ball in his hands. He was really, really fast. So
that's good to get the people excited. That's what they want. That's what they're asking.
I think our backs are awful talented. I think we'll be pretty good there. But we're going to be a lot better throwing the football. So to answer your question, we had to get back to who we are. You know, we've been a physical running team. And we got a little bit of that too. I think our front's much improved. You know, Harold Etheridge has done a great job with the front. I think the guys have been here. You know, our front guys have done a great job of lifting. We put a lot of emphasis. We have, if you come to our building, you see signs all over. It says bend the bar. You know, so it's been really real emphasis, and we'll be back. We're back in the weight room now, so I think our front's going to be much improved on offense. So just getting our offense better and being able to score points. You got to be able to score, and particularly in the playoffs, you got to be able to score. So
our WZND, one of our WZND faculty advisors, Deb. I don't know if she's in. Is Deb not in the room anymore? I don't know. She wants to hear the answer to this one, but she had a question on completely unfootball related. What is your show you're watching right now? You know, everyone's got a show they're following along with. What have you been keeping up with?
That's a good question. You know, I like music a lot, so I like to watch it. Access?
Oh yeah, the top 10 thing.
Yeah, I like that. If it's the right genre of music, I'm a little goofy with that. So that's one of my favorites. Nothing sports related.
Really?
There's something island hunters or whatever they call it, purchasing islands.
Island buyers.
Right. I like island buyers because I love the water. So I catch my. I'd never be able to afford that. But it'd be nice to buy an island. I said, who has the money to buy an island? And it's just amazing. But I kind of watch stuff like that. You know, just I like real people more than I like movies, but I like real people. But
next,
those are things.
Yes,
I like music a lot. You know, I get away. But I watch. You know, I watch a lot of spring football. I watch the new leagues. When I can. On the weekend at night, you know,
like the XFL and stuff like that.
USFL and XFL. I've been very impressed. You know, Zeke was drafted in the USFL. Yeah. He's drafted in the fifth round by the best team, by the way.
Champions,
And he'll have a. I'm sure he wants to play in the NFL, but he'll have an option. If it doesn't work out, he'll have an option. But I'm sure he'll be on somebody's roster here. But that's what I do. Nothing exciting, but I think it's cool. But.
Do you have a favorite spot to eat outside of football and when you're hanging out in town?
Yeah, my wife's kitchen. She's a really good cook. I really like that. I don't want to go on my because I got a lot of friends out there.
Yeah.
Who own restaurants.
Right.
I don't want to make them.
Don't want to make any enemies.
Yeah, I don't want to make any. You know, a lot of friends and I try to hit as many as I can if I can, but. You don't see me out very much because I'm kind of in and out, and I don't. I'm kind of a homebody.
Yeah.
You know, I like my backyard and spending time with my dogs, my two Goldens, and my wife. So. Yeah.
This is my last question. And it's from me here. I have this written down. If you could have dinner with a football legend or sports legend of any time, who would you want to sit down with?
No doubt, Michael Jordan.
Who'd you say?
Michael Jordan.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, I would really. I argue with our players all the time. You know, that's a big argument now, right?
LeBron and Michael. Yeah.
It ain't even close in my mind.
No,
I mean,
it's not even close.
I'm sorry.
No, it's not close.
And one guy is really, really tough, and the other one thinks he is. And and very talented player, don't get me wrong, but Michael Jordan.
I'm on your side.
Michael Jordan was a great defender, and he doesn't get the credit he deserves about playing defense. And when he played, you know, you take a ball down the lane, you got knocked in the cheap seats, and now you get fined for that, you get suspended, and they don't let them play anymore. You know, you blow in somebody's ear and you get called for a foul. You know, so I just think it's Michael Jordan would be cool.
Yeah, I like
Muhammad
that
Ali would be another guy. I mean, you guys don't know him. I was a big boxing fan, but he was, you know, Michael Jordan's a Muhammad Ali, you know, of now or back 20 years ago, but. Muhammad Ali, when I grew up, was the guy. You know, he was the superstar athlete. But I was around a great player at Purdue named Drew Brees, and he was
never heard of him.
He was cool to be around. I mean, he's a special guy. He called me last year, and I had a major surgery and he didn't believe me, so I had to show him my scar and show him my foot because he didn't believe that was my foot. I said, "That's my foot, dude." He goes, "No, it's not." He said. I won't use the language you use, but he said now he's, but he did talk to our team and we got
him on
Zoom. It was really cool, but so I always enjoy listening to him. You can learn. When I was a defensive coordinator and Drew played for us and at Purdue, and I would sit down and we'd have a talk about what he saw and what you know how we can change. And I learned a lot about how to disguise coverages and disguise blitzes and pressures through him because he's so good at it. If you could fool Breeze, you had something. So I learned a lot about disguising things and defensively that made us so much better. And uh, he was He's a very interesting guy.
Much like Tom Brady and a lot of others, I think Drew's gone into broadcasting, but do you think coaching's in his future too?
No, I think he got a, they had a deal with their coach left at for the bowl game. He came back and I don't think he liked that. I just think when you're that level player, I think it's almost impossible to coach because
right.
You just can't you do it this way? Well, you have to verbalize it and you have to they can't do that. That's why you're there. And I think it would drive him crazy.
Yeah.
And I could see on his face on the sideline of that game, I said, this is not for me. It's just driving me nuts. I can't stand to watch this. They get so frustrated. I don't think it would be. But he's so much, and he's got so many other things, He makes so much money off his other deals that I don't see him do that. He loves his family. He's around a lot more now, and he's got four children. And
yeah.
He's not going to. I don't think coaching takes that away. He takes that part of your life away and too much, And so I don't see him doing that.
I remember the story that, and I don't know if this is true, is a funny story though, that the Saints reached out to him midway through last year when they needed a quarterback and said, Drew, would you mind coming back? And he sent them back a picture of him golfing. He's like, I'm busy.
No. I caught him in his pickup truck in a side street in Los Angeles. He was going. Not too many people know this. He lives in San Diego again. He moved back there and. He played for this. That's where he drafted him out of
right.
college. But he had a son with him. They went to a Rams. I think the Rams were playing the Chargers in some type of scrimmage. And so he just drove his teenage son with him. So he's just a real family man. And he stepped out of his truck and put himself we zoomed him on his phone. it was pretty cool actually. I said all he needs is 20 minutes, half hour. He's on for over an hour. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So He's one of the few people out there. He is what you see. That's who he is. He's a great person. He doesn't have a huge ego. He's a great guy. And that's what makes him such an interesting guy. But,
yeah, Coach, I appreciate the talk. We went a little bit over, but why not talk about a future Hall of Famer like that?
Yeah.
I appreciate your conversation.
I think he's a no-brainer.
No-brainer.
Yeah, he's a unanimous Hall of Famer. Yeah.
It's only a matter of time. Thanks, Coach, for being
here. Appreciate
really
you
appreciate
having
it.
Me.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun. Thank you, Coach.
So coming up on the Red Zone, we're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft before we have our big giveaway of the night, at least in my opinion, tickets to the Chicago Cubs. You're listening to the Red Zone.
Hey, this is Katie Weimerskirch, and you're listening to The Red Zone.
And welcome back in for the last 10 minutes or so of The Red Zone. Mikey Fornelli, Braden Fogerson alongside here at Buffalo Wild Wings on Main Street. You still have a chance to come down and eat some dinner. We are almost done with our giveaways tonight, but we appreciate Buffalo Wild Wings for hosting us for this very special edition of The Red Zone.
Yeah, Braden, sadly, all the good tickets are gone again, but you can still get Cubs tickets. So.
Oh, man, really? I can't believe I'm sitting next to you. But you asked me during the break, and I said let's save it for when we're back on air. The question I asked Coach Spack was, who would you have dinner with, any sports figure? And you said, who was your answer? I said, let's save it. So I'll let you start while I think.
Well, I took Spanish in at Parkland. And so I did a presentation, a PowerPoint presentation on an athlete, and I chose Roberto Clemente. And he's a humanitarian. Yes, he's a Pittsburgh Pirate, but he was a humanitarian. He was a fantastic athlete. He was the only MLB player to posthumously get in the Hall of Fame before waiting the 3 years, and there was a reason for that. He was an amazing athlete, and I think he was awesome.
The Pirates are good now, apparently, so it's not even that bad to say that the Pirates are, he's a Pittsburgh Pirate, because they're apparently good all of a sudden,
yeah.
And they're gonna run through the MLB, I guess. But my person, I would have to go with Ron Santo, I think. I always respected him as a player. I respected him as a broadcaster. He seemed like a cool guy, and I always liked those clips of him clicking his heels after they would win games down the third baseline. I always thought that was fun.
Yeah.
But we're going to talk a little bit here in the last couple minutes about the NFL draft. How can we have a show live from Buffalo Wild Wings on draft night without mentioning the NFL draft? Now, I know you're a Raiders fan. We don't have too many Raiders fans in the building, though. So if you don't mind, I thought I'd maybe start with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely. That's
so let's talk
fine,
a
yeah.
little bit about the Bears. Personally, I don't think the Bears are drafting at 9. I don't know. I haven't really been on my phone. I don't know if they have traded that pick yet, but my personal thoughts are they're definitely going to trade back again. But if they have that 9 spot, I like what Coach said about maybe the some defensive options that might pop up there.
I think it might depend on whether either Witherspoon or Skoronski are available, because you get the whole, local guy adage to that draft pick if that happens. I think especially Skoronski, because they really need to be able to add offensive line.
Yeah.
But really any sort of addition like that, if those options are off the table, I don't think there's any reason for them to draft at 9 either, so I agree with you there.
Yeah, I think they definitely need those linemen help. And Ryan Poles himself said he takes pride in finding guys who are from the area or went to college in the area, those Notre Dame guys, those Northwest Chicago guys that they like to bring in, you know, the Jack Sanborns, the Cole Komets of the world. And I think that's something they're definitely going to look for as they draft tonight. And I think in the later rounds, maybe take a flyer on Zeke Vandenberg. Maybe that's somebody from up north that you can maybe consider bringing in to help your defense out. That's just one thing I thought about, even though it wouldn't be for a couple rounds.
Yeah, I agree. It worked for the Bulls when they picked up Io. He's been pretty good for them. So I just really enjoy that whole local guy atmosphere of it all.
So Coach was kind of stuck on it, but obviously the number one pick is not completely cut and dry. I mean, I think most people would say Bryce Young.
I feel like it has to be Bryce Young, doesn't it?
People are starting to say Levis.
Every draft, they're like, oh, this is the guy all year. And then they're like, all of a sudden, oh, let's pick this, like, quirked up dude to, like, push him as the number one. I don't see it. I feel like Bryce has to be the guy. And all the pictures, I think it was Levis that there were videos being pushed of him throwing like 65 yards without moving his feet, and I feel like that's just anti-Bryce Young propaganda, and I think that Bryce Young needs to be that number one guy.
What do you see of that, like, the validity of those tests? Like, you know, those tests were coming out this week that they did IQ test type stuff for Football Minds, and C.J. Stroud was so much lower than the Bryce Youngs and the Will Levises of the world. And I just don't take too much away from it. I think each team should do their own kind of evaluation, in my opinion. But that has definitely determined some people's thoughts on where they think a lot of players are going to get picked.
Well, the top picks are the ones that get the most money. But I think that there is something to be said about being picked a little bit later and going to a better team. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you can kind of show off your talent better by being on a more well-run team. If you can choose between being paid a ton of money and going to the Jets and getting paid a little bit less and not going to a QB graveyard, I think you would want to – I think there's something to be said about maybe wanting to go somewhere else. And, you know, maybe they're just trying to play it strategy-wise and say, he struggled on this test. You bad teams shouldn't pick him. He's not going to save you. He should be picked by, like, the Packers or something, or some team that's got a lot more pieces around him. So
I thought you were roasting the Jets for a second. I thought you were saying that the Jets are a QB graveyard.
They
have a Hall of Famer there, as much as I don't like him.
Absolutely. I don't know about it for Rodgers, because Rodgers is an amazing talent even still. But I think that, you know, when's the last time the Jets have picked a QB and they put him in a situation that's worked well? I feel like every 2 or 3 years they're like, let's move on from this QB, not add any other pieces around him and just hope he doesn't fail. And then they always fail.
That's an interesting experiment, the Aaron Rodgers experiment in New York. And that also leaves the Green Bay Packers. Do you think they're looking to improve in the quarterback room?
I think it'd be so funny if Aaron Rodgers leaves and they're immediately like, let's add weapons for the offense. I think the comedy value of that, I think that's something to be considered.
They kind of have to, though. Like, I mean, you expect that Jordan Love is the starter now.
Yeah.
I mean, you would think... Yeah, they're not going to – unless they go draft somebody, but even then, they're going to expect that Jordan Love's still the day one starter until he's proven otherwise. But you need options. Rodgers made it work, because as much as I don't like him, Rodgers is a Hall of Famer, and he could rely on the run game.
Yeah.
But Jordan Love is not going to be as lucky.
But Jordan Love isn't going to have all the distractions that Rodgers had late, and he's kind of been assumed to have this position for so long. Put him in that situation. Give him a few weeks. I mean – what else are the Packers going to do? I feel like any other rookie they would be able to pick up with the pick that they have, you know, if they want to find a pick that's going to get them a QB that gives them a better option than Love, they're going to have to give up way too much to do it. So you might as well just stick with Love and see what he's got for you.
Stetson Bennett, congratulations, you're a Green Bay Packer.
Well, Stetson Bennett, I mean, there's only so much more you can add to a guy that's 26. I was talking to my friends because they talk about the NFL all the time and like, I think Stetson Bennett's pretty good. I feel like if you've got a guy that's that old, by the time he's figured out NFL offenses at the level where you hit your peak typically as an NFL player, in terms of his physical abilities, he's going to be kind of past his prime a little bit. And I feel like it's better to put your chips all in one basket of a younger player than a player that's going to have to take some time to figure out NFL defenses before he can, you know, actually succeed that way.
I think he can fall into a decent program as a backup and be okay for a couple years. But, yeah, I think it's already – maybe his window's starting to close already. And I think he'd need to find a good program and more than anybody, what you dubbed QB graveyards. That cannot happen to him because, you know, he won two national championships, but he was also with Georgia. So you have to be somewhere where you're set up in a decent program.
Yeah, for sure. If he is going to go somewhere, it needs to be somewhere that has a good situation already is what I will say.
So we have a winner in our last minute here of our Cubs ticket giveaway. The lucky winner is Santiago Kipp. He won those tickets to the Cubs games, and that will be against the Boston Red Sox. So WZND's Red Zone was live here at Buffalo Wild Wings, and our giveaway winner was Santiago Kipp to get those Chicago Cubs tickets. Thank you for listening to WZND and participating in the Grand Slam Summer Giveaway. A big congratulations to all of our winners tonight. We hope you have a wonderful time attending all of those Major League Baseball games this summer. It truly will be a Grand Slam Summer, and we'd like to thank ISU's football coach, Brock Spack, for interviewing with Braden and I tonight, and ultimately Buffalo Wild Wings for hosting us. For Braden Fogerson, I'm Mikey Frinelli. Special thanks to all of our WZND crew for being all hands on deck and getting this whole show going today, and Ben Howell back in the studio for running it as our producer. Thank you, and have a good night.
To hear this and other past episodes of The Red Zone again, download the Red Zone podcast online at WZND.com or on iTunes. And of course, tune into The Red Zone every Thursday at 6, right here on 103.3 WZND,
the pulse of Redbird Nation.